Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Once in a lifetime hail means a very special opportunity to purchase a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Choose from 42 options. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the Calgary airport.
Well, in 2 weeks, we will be getting set for the 2020 NHL draft. Our draft coverage will be live on the radio station. Obviously, we won't be at the arena because it will not be at an arena this year, but Will and I and a special guest will be part of the draft coverage for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's crazy to think that the Stanley Cup final is still going on, and we're also 2 weeks away from the NHL draft. But Flames hold the 19th overall selection as it stands right now, and knowing that it's the two-week anniversary, I thought to myself that'd be a pretty good topic because we're going to be talking a lot about this leading up to the draft in 2 weeks. It's a pretty good topic for our Daily Flames Roundtable. So today, it's Pat Steinberg, it's Will Nault, and Riley Pollock completes our Daily Flames Roundtable on your drive home today. And we'll start with this one, because the Flames have now been under this current management regime for 6 seasons. This will be draft number 6 for Brad Treliving and company. So I'll start with this one. It's kind of an open-ended question, and it's a broad one, but it's a good one to kick us off. Will, if you could give Calgary's drafting a letter grade under this management group, what would you give them at the NHL draft, specifically when it comes to selecting players?
I do think it's hard to be a team that's kind of firmly in the A letter category. I think you've got to essentially have, you know, a bunch of bona fide superstars in the 6 years, and yes, the Flames have had some really nice selections in that time. So all that being said, Pat, very hard to be an A-letter grade, but I think the drafting in this organization in the last decade, and obviously primarily under the regime of Brad Treliving, I think you can not, you know, you have to be impressed with the way things have really kind of turned around. And you know, I think it obviously helps when your GM does not trade as many picks as the previous one did, and you actually are able to make some selections. But the amount of guys they've been able to find outside of the first round, yes, when you pick inside the top 10, every once in a while, you're going to be able to find some pieces like a Tkachuk and a Monahan. But I would say that overall, if I'm giving a Brad Treliving scouting department and drafting letter grade, I'd probably go with a B+. I think it's been that good. And again, when you're finding NHL pieces in the second round and even the sixth round and Andrew Mangiapane, I think you have to be positive about it. And again, hard to get into A category, so I will go with the next best and give it a B+.
Riley,
well,
the master of the pregnant pause.
I'm not.
Don't be afraid to jump in, kid.
That I'm not that high on it personally. I was gonna go C+ with mine.
Whoa!
Yeah, I
kid's a hard marker.
I mean, there's 7 players, from what I can see since 2014, that have played for the Calgary Flames. They are good players. That's why that it's almost a B for me. But there's only been 7 players in 6 full drafts that have played for the Calgary Flames that have been drafted by this group. So. Easy. I mean, I can't say they're almost an A, but I can definitely say it's almost a B because of the talent from those 6 seasons. But just depth-wise, I just can't get them in the B category.
I can just hear somebody screaming at the radio right now if they were coming home from the Saddle Dome right now, if one of the management group was listening right now. 7 guys since 2014, that's really good, I think. Like, I feel like if
that's
you can...
That's really good.
If you can
that's get, more than one a year.
If you can get 2 guys per draft to end up being NHLers, I think that you are in great shape. I actually give this group an A for what they've been able to do drafting. And Will, I know that you say it's hard to give A's, and I agree. I'm a pretty hard marker on this stuff, I think, but I just feel the...
Yeah, I definitely could have went A-. There's no question.
Just, it's, you know why? It's because the approach of the way that they have changed their philosophy, it's a lot of times you can be pretty fluky. And I think that, you know, everybody gave Detroit all this credit in the 90s about, look, they got Datsyuk or they got Zetterberg in the late round. It's like, okay, very true. Those guys are Hall of Famers, but it's not like they were always hitting. Instead, I kind of feel like the Red Wings got a little lucky on some of those guys late. Whereas The Flames have established a pattern, and they've also established a clear philosophy in that, and I don't think that this is like super different from the other 30 NHL teams, but I kind of feel like it might be different than the prior regimes in that they treat every single pick as if it's a first round pick. They put as much effort into pick 190 as they do into pick 6, where they got Matthew Tkachuk. And so because they really honed in on that philosophy, and because it's really started to bear fruit, specifically from the 15 draft on, I give them a lot of credit. 15 got them 3 NHLers, 2 bona fide good NHLers, and one who's played plenty of NHL games. That got them Anderson, Shillington, and Mangiapane. 16 got them Tkachuk and Dubé, plus Fox, who is an NHLer and was 4th in Rookie of the Year voting, plus Phillips, who's knocking on the door. So, like, that was a pretty solid draft. 17 got him Valimaki, who we all expect to be a first an NHLer next year, and I think Rzichka is going to play. And then 18, 19, you still have to wait and see, but it feels like there's a chance for some of those picks to turn into something too. And they have, you know, Pelche's a first round pick, the only first round pick they've had in the last two, but Dustin Wolf's a 7th round pick, a lot of excitement surrounding him.
Xavier Rodney's a 7th round pick.
And a lot of people like what he could be. Emilio Pettersson's a 6th round pick, and a lot of people like what he could be after they signed him. I guess I just see...
And Vasek Pospisil right now is a tennis star, but he could come over and have a good hockey career too.
His first name is Martin. I don't even think they're related. Maybe
no,
maybe
they're not.
Fourth cousin, seven.
They're not. They're not.
I just feel
you
like
you say that on the radio and someone believes it's fact. That's they're
good
not
point.
Related.
They are not related. I just think that the philosophy change since Brad Treliving's first full draft, since this management group's first full draft, has been really, really easy to see and has been really impressive. And because they took such a massive shift in their philosophy and because it has really started to bear fruit, I'll give this group an A. I really do think that they've knocked this particular part of building a hockey team out of the park over the last half decade.
Yeah, they're averaging 2 guys a draft. And again, as you said, 17, 18, 19 still got to come to fruition, but it looks like they're going to have 2 potentially from the 2017 draft. There's numerous candidates in the 18-19 draft who at some point play NHL games. It's a really good run. And yes, the run from 14-15-16 was maybe one of the best in franchise history. But you can't really be upset. And again, I think you could get to an A-level grade for me, Pat, if we see this, you know, kind of continue the way that it has in the 17-18-19 years. And just got to give it some time, but there's no question in the, the 6 drafts that he's been a part of. Yes, 2014, he was essentially a raw rookie and it wasn't really his draft, but, it's been a good run for the Flames. And when you compare it to the rest of their history as a franchise, it's super impressive. And to, you know, again, have 7 guys in those 6 years, you can't be too upset with that.
I also appreciate how hard a marker Mr. Pollock is too. You are not getting any easy marks with Riles.
They've only had 7 NHL players. They suck.
I like it.
Of C plus is different than your guys. I've had those all my life, so.
So that's impressive. It's Riley Pollock, Will Nault, Pat Steinberg along with you. Daily Flames Roundtable. What has, Riles, to you first, anything specific that has impressed you most about how this team has approached drafting or what they've done at the draft in recent years?
Well, besides Matthew Tkachuk, they haven't really had that top 10 pick, but it seems like their definite first round pick, they've hit really well on. You look at Bennett. You look at Anderson, Tkachuk, obviously, Valimaki, I love. And then you guys talked about Pelche and Pospisil. So a lot of teams miss on that mid-first-round pick, but it seems like the Flames have done a good job of getting bona fide NHL players with that early pick.
Okay.
You're talking about things he's done at the draft, Pat?
Or just like anything, whether it be a single player, whether it be a trend, anything that you really have been impressed by.
A trend, and I don't know if I'm necessarily impressed with it, but I don't know how you can't sit here and say that his trend is not making at least one massive impact trade at the draft. And I don't know, again, some of them haven't really worked out. I know that some people are upset about the price paid for Hamonic and some of the draft picks that were traded away. And you mentioned, Pelletier being their only first-round pick the last couple of years because they have been trading those away and didn't even pick until the fourth round in 2018. Mm-hmm. So I can see where there would be some criticism on that, but I would say that most of those trades that he's made have been for the positive. Even the Dougie Hamilton trade, Pat, the way he was able to flip that in that deal with Carolina, I don't know if you can sit here and be all that upset with the way that Dougie Hamilton kind of flip-flop went in Calgary. So if I'm going to sit here and talk about trends or talk about things that a tree does at the NHL draft, it's I'm going to do my best to make this weekend one where I put a giant footprint on whatever my team looks like the next season.
One that I really appreciate is just how, especially since 2015, they've kind of placed a premium on skill, and that has allowed them to take some guys that wouldn't necessarily be as high on other teams' list because they're not as big, they're not as strong, they're not as physically imposing. I just take a look at some of the guys that they have, I don't even want to say they've taken flyers on, but they have picked and identified because of their skill. Mangiapane in the sixth round, Matthew Phillips in the sixth round, Adam Fox in the third round, players like that, Zavgorodny in the seventh round, even Pelletier in the first round, they have gone out of their way to really look at the player and not the frame, and they haven't gotten shied away from a player because he's too small. They haven't fallen in love with any players because they're big. And I think, again, the biggest indication that I have that is actually a trend, and look, I've talked to people in the organization on the air, off the air, about the way that they have really prioritized skill and really prioritized hockey sense as their biggest things and not worrying so much about the actual frame of the human being they're drafting. But even if I hadn't heard that, I even look at 2014 to 2015 when, look, that Hunter Smith pick was only made because Hunter Smith was big. And that was only made because you're like, oh, well, Hunter Smith, he's 6 foot whatever and 200 and however many pounds. Like, oh, he's a big body. We got to draft him. And this is not me taking a shot at Brian Burke. I'm just saying that was a philosophy that I think he leaned more towards than the way that this new drafting philosophy has started in 2015. And I keep going back to it. The 2014 draft is technically a tree living draft, but I don't really consider it a tree living draft because he'd been on the job for like less than 2 months. And the overall management group had been on the job for like less than a month. Or a month at most. So they didn't really have their opportunity to sink their teeth into that draft and their new scouting philosophy the way they did from 2015 on. So you have some serious misses like McDonald and Smith in that year's draft. Whereas you just don't see as many whiffs from 2015 on as you do. And I think a big part of that is because of the new philosophy. So, Will, that would probably be the thing that impresses me most, just the way that they have kind of prioritized those things as most important.
And I think that trend has certainly, came to the surface across the NHL and good on the Flames for kind of being right there with it. And I think we're seeing that now, as I mentioned, in actual NHL games. We're seeing guys come up and develop and also, as you kind of mentioned earlier on in this roundtable chat, the Flames under Brad Treliving have kind of, really approached every pick like it's a first round pick. And I think that has kind of led to some of the decisions that they've made in later rounds. It's taking the player that they see as the best available on their own list. And they essentially almost threw out the height and weight. And I think that sometimes has led to some of the success we're seeing in those later rounds. So I'm with you. I'm right there. And I think the philosophy has been a good kind of turn here under Brad Treliving and co.
Final question on our Daily Flames Roundtable with Riley Pollock, Will Nault, and my name is Pat Steinberg. So all that being said, Flames own number 19 overall. Will, move that pick, trade it, keep it at 19, move up, move down. What is best for the Calgary Flames, just as you look at it, what is their best case scenario or their best approach with number 19 overall?
I think the best approach is to keep it and select at 19th overall. But I also would not be opposed to including it if there was a bigger deal to be made that can impact your hockey team right now. And I guess why I would be in that camp is kind of what we just talked about, Pat, and the fact that there was quite a surplus in the last couple of years of guys that you feel are kind of right on the verge of joining your NHL team, or certainly ones that you love having at the top of your American Hockey League roster that you can pluck from whenever injuries do hit at the NHL level. So I think they're kind of in that comfortable spot where they could include it in a trade if it were there. You're not shopping that pick, but I think when it's all said and done, the best case scenario is to keep it and select the number 19 overall.
Yeah, I have to agree with Will on that one. There's a player by the name of Jack Quinn that I really like around that 19 spot, 52 goals with Ottawa this year in the OHL. He's a beast, and it'd be awesome if the Flames could take him at 19. But if there's a bigger deal for that 19th pick, I think that they have the depth in their farm system that they don't need a guy right now that's from first round. So if they need to make a play for that first round pick, it's not the worst thing, but I would lean towards them keeping that 19th pick and taking someone up front.
Yeah, and I hate to echo the choir, but it's kind of like I don't think that this is a draft where you need to be moving up. I think you're looking at a pretty deep draft, all things considered, especially in the first round. I think, what are you going to get if you move down? I mean, I guess you could get an extra pick in a later round. So if you have a guy that you think, if you're a guy you think is going to last two or three picks more, I guess you could move down. But I like the idea of them going at 19 and picking there. Both Torrey Pederson and Alex Medina at the Flames have them selecting Noel Gundler in their mock drafts. This is not them saying this is who they're going to pick. This is just Torrey and Alex going with their mock drafts. Have Noel Gundler in Sweden, who's a right side guy, going at number 19 overall to the Flames. So that's kind of interesting. And if they were to go that, it's another Swede in the organization to join with Team Sweden, which is very, very quickly starting to build. And I think it's pretty cool to see how many different impressive Swedes they've got on the team. But I don't think that this would be a untouchable pick. I do believe that they have done a good enough job with depth drafting, and I also believe they've done a good enough job of going out and signing players and using free agency as a potential way to bring guys in as well, whether it be Glenn Godden or Connor Mackey or Tucker Poolman or whoever you want to look at. I think they've done a pretty good job in that regard too. So if they were to use their first round pick to upgrade their team significantly for the right now, I wouldn't be out there like dangling it in front of the rest of the NHL saying, you want our first round pick? We don't want it. Give us your best offer. But if there was something that could actually be consummated, yeah, I'd be okay, Will, if they were to do that, because I think that, you know, that could be a nice chip for them to get that top six forward that we're talking about. And as you mentioned earlier, when it comes to trends, Brad's made some draft deals. He's made one or two. Last year was really, I don't think he made a deal last year, and that was the first time in his tenure as GM of this team he did not make a single move for a roster player at the draft. So wouldn't surprise me if that were to happen, and if the first round pick were to be involved for the right deal, I'd be okay with that. I don't think it's untouchable.
Yeah, especially with everything we've talked about in terms of the need to shake up the core of this team. That's where I would kind of hint that maybe a first round pick would be involved. Again, I don't think they're actively shopping it, but I don't think Brad would say no if it had to be included to sweeten the pot of a return somewhere down the road.
Couple of texts, 960-960. This reads, I agree with Riley. Bennett hasn't panned out as a top five pick. That one needed to be a star. This reads, Team Riley, playoffs have been shirt. So there's a couple people agreeing with. Was it a C or a C plus, Riles?
I said C plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will gave Flames drafting a B plus. If you're comparing to previous GMs, then sure, B plus. But if you compare to all other GMs, C plus. What else we got here? This from Mike, who says drafting has been the best aspect of this organization in this recent era. If Treliving stopped trading all his picks and signing junk, then this organization could really have a heck of a team. It's the later round guys that have been impressive to me. They found all these smaller skilled guys that other teams have seemingly avoided. If Emilio Pederson turns into an NHLer, then they're really doing good work. And finally, keep suckling from the Flames' teat, Pat. Shocker, you would give them an A. You're so predictable. So there's a smattering of texts, including a graphic one about suckling from 8449, who seems like a big fan of mine. We should hang out later today. He's Will. He's Riley. I'm Pat. That's our Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. Once-in-a-lifetime hail means a very special opportunity to purchase a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Choose from 42 options. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the Calgary airport.